Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Small acts of kindness can lead to big things. During the pandemic, someone left a box of tissues on a shared table in a Melbourne apartment complex with a note, and the note said, "Please take if needed." And that got then anti-ageism campaigner Dr. Catherine Barrett thinking about starting a pandemic of her own. She set up a Facebook group called The Kindness Pandemic, where people share positive stories about big and little things they do for others. The group is still going strong today with more than 500,000 followers worldwide. And Dr. Catherine Barrett joins me now. Hi, Catherine.
Jesse, thank you for the invitation to speak with you.
Oh, no, I'm so excited. We actually talked to TED Talk curator Chris Anderson a few weeks ago about his efforts to make generosity infectious, and he told us about you. So that's how we found you. Can you take us back to, I think it was March 2020, during the COVID lockdowns? What was happening, and why did that box of tissues have such a profound impact on you?
Well, it was March the 14th, 2020 at 7:30 p.m. and everything that I was going to for the weekend had been cancelled, and, you know, lockdowns were starting and people were panicking. I was on social media scrolling around, and I noticed that there were fights starting in supermarkets over toilet paper, and there was a lot of anxiety, which really fed on my own anxiety. And during the day, one of the other women in our building had left some tissues out. It was just that really simple note saying, you know, "I've got plenty and would you like one of these?" And I thought, you know, we could actually, where attention goes, energy flows, that old saying. Mm. And I thought, if we could focus on acts of kindness right now, you know, it wouldn't make this dreadful virus go away, but it might help us to get through it. So I set up the Facebook group and invited 100 of my friends to come and went to bed. And the next day I got up and there were 1,000 people. Oh. And it became the fastest growing Facebook group in the world. So it was growing at a rate of 50,000 new members a day and got to almost 580,000 in
Gosh.
2 weeks.
Shows how much we and all I needed think, it, right?
Yes, yes. And I think that that sense of urgency around COVID and people's panic brought them back to this thing that is so fundamentally within us, but sometimes we get so distracted with the world, but it brought us all back to this sort of shared sense of humanity that, you know, people in our group said, "What I love about this movement, this group, is that it's like there's no us and them. There's only us. We've got each other's backs and we're going to be able to get through this because we're looking out for each other."
Can you give us some examples of the sorts of things people post about?
Amazing and varied things that people post about. And, you know, one of my favourite post from really early on was a woman whose partner was away and she had 3 kids and they were all sick, and she was sick and she couldn't leave the house because they were all sick, and she realised then her kids had head lice and she was going to have to ask her neighbour to go to the chemist and get her something for head lice. So she was feeling really unwell and under pressure and then ashamed of having to ask her neighbours for something that she might have otherwise kept private, but she did. And she shared a photograph of the passageway outside her home, and there was, you know, the knit shampoo, and there was a bottle of wine for her and chocolates and toys for the kids and a whole heap of, you know, it was a hamper, really, that her neighbour had got. And so that was the first act of kindness that her neighbour had done that for her. But then the beautiful act of kindness that followed that we see so often is our members got in about, I think that post got to about 40,000 likes in about 12 or 24 hours. And people got on and said, don't worry, darling, you're a good mother and you're doing the right thing by your kids and, you know, we've got you and you're going to be all right. And so even reading the comments, it just sort of brought out this want for people to encourage her as a mum who was doing it tough. And that was kind of the second act of kindness, if you like. So that was one of the really early ones. It was really incredibly, incredibly beautiful.
I mean, I don't suppose you keep up with them all. I was taken by one, Jen Willis in Dalesford in Victoria, who bought a vehicle privately. Does that ring any bells for you?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so when she got the vehicle, she bought the vehicle off somebody she didn't know, and she found a white envelope containing three $50 notes tucked between the sun visor and the roof with a note that said, "This is a random act of kindness. Please use it to spoil your family in a way that makes you happy. I just felt it on my heart to do it for you in what sounded like a challenging time." Would that be typical?
Yeah, it is. It is. People really, you know, sometimes people will do something like that and it's, you know, it can be $5 or $10, which is a lot for some people. But it's an amount of money that can, I mean, even the gesture can just bring so much joy to other people. Incredibly simple. And, you know, that they are infectious. These acts of kindness are infectious. And what we see quite often is when somebody posts a story, then it's like a reminder to people and then they replicate it. And one of the ones we see is people will say, you know, I went through the drive-in today and I was getting a coffee and I paid forward for the people behind me. And then everybody sort of seems to get on and say, well, I'm going to do that. And then the stories are, you know, similar posts show that people are replicating that. And that's one of the joys of, you know, what Chris calls infectious generosity, and we call this these acts of kindness that really remind people that it's really simple and can feel incredibly good when we do something simple to help other people.
Have you thought about why we don't do it more often, given the effect it has on the giver and the recipient?
I think we get distracted by what matters. And, you know, I think, you know, at the moment we're sort of, so many of us are back to thinking about, you know, the work we do and pushing through and paying off our mortgages and, you know, that sort of work cycle,
yeah,
finish work collapse. And it's like we understand that that is the priority we should have, but actually it's not the thing that makes us feel good. You know, when people say really simple acts of kindness, people are saying that's the stuff that makes them feel good. That's the stuff that makes them feel connected, that makes them feel like they're part of a community, whether they live in a city or the country. And it's not that we should choose kindness or work, but our call is really for people to make space for kindness. And we think that people need to be reminded that this is a kind of a natural state of being, and so much about the modern world distracts us from this being there for other people. And we've become a little bit, I think particularly in Western cultures, a bit individualistic. So it's about me. And, you know, as Chris says, we're trying to remind people that that shift from me to we, that shift to the collective, to looking out for other people and is building community. And that's the stuff that fuels people's hearts. That's the stuff that makes people happy. It's not going to work every day and making money that really makes people happy. You know, once you've got to that point financially where you can, you know, you've got some financial security and you know where your next meal is coming from and you've got the basics down, it's not the ongoing bringing in of money that makes people happy. It's that connection to others and feeling part of community. And we need to be reminded that that's a priority, that that's something that fuels our soul.
I'm speaking with Dr. Catherine Barrett. She's the founder of a Facebook group called The Kindness Pandemic, where people share positive stories about things they do for others and things that others have done for them. There's only one more I'll test you on, just in case you remember it, and that's a dying woman who really loved deer. Do you remember this one? Because the video went quite viral.
Do you remember that? It did. So I think it was her daughter had put a call out, and a local deer farm had brought a deer into her mum's room when she was dying. And her mum had been a great fan of the movie, the Disney movie Bambi, and the deer that actually was brought in, the name of the deer was Bambi. And it was just a post that really resonated with people, that the simplicity of having the local deer farm bringing in a deer and making somebody's last hours really happy was something that went really quite viral. I think got picked up by media outlets around the world, because I think there's something in that. I think particularly around dying, you know, we want to think that we can push aside everything that doesn't really matter and be really focused on giving people the best possible experience. So it was a really beautiful story. And there are so many like that. I don't know whether you read the one of the older woman that died and her granddaughter posted about a cardigan she was knitting. Do you remember that one? So the woman who posted had a new child, and her grandmother was in an aged care home and had died unexpectedly while she was making a little jumper for her new great-grandson. And the new mum went in to pick up her grandmother's stuff from the aged care home, knowing this jumper was unfinished, and the staff in the aged care home presented her the jumper and it had been completed. Oh. And she said that the staff in the home had taken it in turns of taking the jumper home and finishing knitting it because they knew how important it was to this woman's grandmother. It was such a beautiful story, like so incredibly simple, but all the people that came together with these really small acts that transformed the experience for the woman whose grandmother had died, and then in the sharing of that story had brought joy to so many people's lives and had reminded so many other people about the importance of kindness and looking out for each other.
These are all so touching. I can see why people might spend time on your Facebook page, although I have to ask, given that social media isn't always a place that amplifies positivity, were you concerned that trolls might sort of take aim at what you were trying to do?
Look, we were. Initially, it was an open group. But what we found was that people started to share memes about kindness and pictures of puppies, which are adorable but not going to change the world. And so what we did was decided to make it a closed group, have a set of rules that we required people to abide by. And one of them was really that you are sharing acts of kindness, you know, that having kind thoughts or a kindness philosophy is a great start, but what the world needs, we think, is acts of kindness, particularly for people who are doing it tough. So we've become a closed group and the rules absolutely help. But we've got a team of half a dozen volunteers who've been with us from the outset, and that's been incredibly useful in terms of people trolling. But really, it's not trolls we get as much as sometimes we need to remind members of our group to be kind in their comments, because I think there's a culture out there of, on social media, people can be rather brutal and harsh and negative. And what we find we need to keep doing is reminding people that this is a space that we have quarantined for kindness, and be kind in your comments is probably the biggest feedback button that we give to people. But it's also too, the members of our group will call people out if they're not being kind in their comments. They'll actually say to them, hey, this is a kindness group, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else. And I think that's a really reasonable response, that we've got to actually remind people that being kind in your comments is an incredibly important part of the process of creating a kinder world.
What is loud kindness?
That's such a good question, Jesse, because it's a little bit of a controversial one. Loud kindness is a response in a way to this concept of quiet kindness. And Chris talks about the work of Kant and others, this idea that Kindness isn't kindness if you tell anyone about it. That, and quite often people will use the same terminology every single time. They'll go, blowing your own trumpet. And we say, what matters is intent. You've got to have the right intent. And the intent has to be to improve the life of someone else rather than, you know, social media hits or, you know, some of that stuff that we've seen on social media elsewhere. Loud kindness is a response to, or it's a counterposition, if you like, to quiet kindness. We're saying the first act of kindness is do something for someone who's doing it tough. You know, give them a hand, help them out in a way that's really meaningful. That's the first act of kindness. The second is the impact that it has on you, that Chris Anderson talks about this quite a lot too, that doing kindness for somebody else can have a really positive impact on us as human beings, and it can make us more happy and satisfied with our lives. But then we say loud kindness is about also sharing the story of what you did with other people for two reasons. And the first one is building hope in the community. There are so many people in the world who want hope, that they feel that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and they want to know that it's going to be okay. They want hope for the world. That's the first reason to share your acts of kindness. The bad news travels really fast. We need to spread these stories about acts of kindness. And the second reason for sharing it is that people replicate it. So the story before about people going through a drive, sharing stories about going through a drive-through and paying forward a coffee to the person behind them, that then gets replicated. People go, I can do that. And so it spreads and spreads. And we see this time and time again with the acts of kindness that are shared. People go, I can do that. And they go out and they do it. And so they are the reasons we talk about this concept of loud kindness. Tell people about it. You're not blowing your own trumpet. You are trying to create this global movement where people understand that this is a new cultural norm, that we look out for each other.
You're giving people permission to talk about the good things that they've done, which for some people might feel like bragging, but you're saying, hey, there's a good reason to, quote, brag, and it's not about you.
Yes, and we have to remind people of that quite often. You know, people will say to us, you're blowing your own trumpets, and we're going, well, no, actually, it's about the intent, and the intent of a genuine act of kindness. We call it intersectional kindness, so kindness for people who are doing it tough. The right intent there is to create, to support someone who is doing it tough. It's not about getting more internet hits. It's not about getting praise. It's about doing something to make someone else's life better and then sharing it, because we want to spread hope and we want these acts of kindness to be replicated. And so that's something that we've had to remind people of all the way along.
Do you notice anything interesting when you look at the demographics of the people who've joined your group?
It's mostly women.
How many women?
It's like 85% women.
Wow, okay.
And mostly sort of around their 40s and 50s. Yes, and mostly Australian. Maybe that's not surprising because, you know, it's an Australian-based group. You know, I think we need kindness from everyone. You know, all genders are welcome in Kindness Pandemic, and we love posts. I mean, I think some of the men have posted in different ways. We've had men's groups who've posted about reaching out to men who've lost work and income and who am I as a man and, you know, how do I care for my family? So their posts are incredibly welcome, and for trans and gender diverse people as well too, who've been through really tough stuff globally, we really encourage their posts as well. But most of our members are women.
I should mention, as I did at the beginning, that fighting ageism is your professional focus. Does that connect with the work that you do on kindness advocacy?
It does. It's really interesting because the work around ageism, we've had to fight really hard over the last 10 years to create change. Ageism is only just beginning to be recognised. that 50% of the world is ageist, and ageism can reduce life expectancy by, you know, up to 7 years. It's really caustic stuff, but not well recognised. And so really having to work hard, and then fascinating for us then to put down this kindness pandemic work, and people have just really taken to it. And so what we're trying to do now is bring those two worlds together. How can we take a kindness approach to this work combating ageism? Because combating ageism, if you like, is a form of kindness. So what we've been doing is Gen K, we call it, or generational kindness. So we're bringing older and younger people together for workshops where the first workshop is focused on combating ageism, or exploring the way ageism is experienced across generations. And then the other workshops, older and younger people work together to shared acts of kindness for someone doing it tough in their local community. And we found that bringing people together to change the world over something they feel really passionate about is a really great way of making an intergenerational connection that has a positive influence on perceptions of ageism. So yeah, really, this kindness pandemic has taught us so much about what people want in the world and how we can create change in much more creative ways.
And finally, any tips for New Zealanders who might be listening today, who are willing to embrace a bit more kindness in their lives and aren't quite sure where and how to start?
Yes, I think the big tip is that almost everyone I speak to wants to live in a better world. And so many of us wait for our political leaders to create the change that we want to see in the world. The change is you. And it's not about one big grand gesture, one little tiny thing. Make a phone call to somebody who would value your support, you know, saying hello to someone in the street, giving a person eye contact, smiling. All those little things are not massive waves, they are tiny ripples, and en masse, they are incredibly powerful. So the key message really, it doesn't need to be big. Something really small is incredibly valuable, and it's not somebody else that's going to create this change. It's you. It's every single one of you can create change in the world through one tiny act of kindness.
Thanks so much for your good work, Catherine. Really lovely to talk to you today.
Thanks, Jesse.
That's Dr. Catherine Barrett from the Facebook group The Kindness Pandemic.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.